You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Jamie, I'm going to hold off on the intro for a second and just want you to realize it's June.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's June already.
It's crazy.
I looked at the thing this morning and went, it's June. How is it June? We just did January. What the heck? All right, I can do the opener now. Good morning. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, June 2nd, episode 3703, brought to you by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You heard that right. It's Monday, the first day of a fabulous week of shows on Horses in the Morning. So saddle up and ride along. We promise to help you get through your week.
You got to cut that yawn out of there, man. It makes me yawn every time.
I did that because it's June, for God's sake.
I can't take it.
Well, we have a fun show planned for you today. Scott Beckstead is going to join us, and he is from the Wild Horse Refuge. We've had him on a couple times, but he's such a fascinating guest, and they're kind of a
so cool
marketing partner of ours to get the word out about Mustangs and another alternative for you know, a solution for them, and they're out of Colorado.
A happy Mustang story. A happy Mustang story.
Yes, and then Hillary's going to join us. She is one of our terrific auditors that volunteered to do a review, State Line Tack review for us this year, and she's reviewing the Shire's Arma Sub-Zero Ice Boots. Plus, we have our monthly look at your equestrian first world problems. And then in the Auditor Post Show, Anna's parents are at Jamie's house ready to take her away on a trip of the United States. So we're going to chat with her parents for a little bit. We talked to them last at Radiothon last year.
Yeah. And I did find out that, remember, Anna's parents were wearing Christmas sweaters.
Yes.
He returned his, Michael did, right after the show, actually.
Yeah, I didn't think he was going to be wearing them again.
I thought that was hilarious. He was like, yeah, I returned it. I was like, oh my God.
That's funny. So when you were in England and London, did you do the Royal Mews at Buckingham Palace?
Of course, of course.
So the Royal Mews.
I mean, as close as I could get.
Yeah. We, you know, you can take tours. We went in. Well, when we were there, the Queen was out in Scotland, I think. So all the horses, except for the few that they keep there just because the tourists come, were there. But you get to see the carriages and all that stuff. And it's 200 years old this month. The Royal Mews turns 200 years old. Queen Victoria founded it was a school back then. And, you know, it's been in use ever since then. It's an actual functioning, you know, carriage and horse place, stable. And, you know, you can visit it. You can take the tour of the mews when you're there. And if the horses are in, you get to see the horses. They always have some there. But you can get to see the Gold State Coach, which, by the way, is supposed to be the most uncomfortable thing ever to ride in. And, you know, the stables were built in 1825 at that point for King George IV at the cost of £65,000 or $7.8 million now. And it's, you know, it's open to the public all the time. You can take a tour. It's kind of cool. It's like a little village there inside the mews. But yeah, it was fun to be there. It was fun to see it. And I highly recommend if you go to London, you should check it out. And it's pretty
200 years.
It's pretty fancy too. So, you know, there's that.
I wonder if they have trouble with their barn doors coming off the rack because they're 200 years old, off the slider.
Yeah. Are they doing as much maintenance as we are? You think 200 years old, they'd be doing more maintenance. But it was
like the barn door sliding off. Let's see, the bucket hooks always pull out of the walls, and then you eventually have to drill like 9 holes. Yeah,
the horses kick boards out of the walls, and they have to replace them. You know, because somebody got a nail in there,
break some fence. Yeah. You know,
Well, there wasn't much turnout, if I remember right, at the Royal Mews. There wasn't a lot of turnout, and it's so weird to go to a stable that's right in the middle of the city. You know, it is right off the street, and there's the stable. I remember going in that little side door to get into it. Why I remember that, I don't know. All right, let's do some Daily Whinnies. Well, we have a couple of auditor birthdays, Lulu Clark, and our friend who's not an auditor, but she's a friend of ours, Max Cochran, who comes on a regular basis. So happy birthday to both of you. I'm trying to find your Daily Winnie, and there it is. Oh, come on, Daily Winnie.
Daily Winnies. Oh my gosh, I gotta get the ad up here. Hold on. Let's see here. I'm going to myracehorse.com. I have a
Did you win something? Are you a big winner?
Yeah. I won another horse.
So your whole project spending like $100 has now cost you thousands.
Listen, Trust But Verify is going to go into training with Dwayne Lucas, and I wanted to get involved, okay? I mean, it's like a thing. So, yeah, I mean, besides Puka 24 was the most recent purchase, and then Trust But Verify joined my stable yesterday, and I fully blame it on the auditor who posted, Trust But Verify is available, I bought in, and I'm like, well, I have to buy in, obviously.
It's like a challenge for you.
Okay, do you want to know who I own now in the My Racehorse stable? Okay. Obviously, Caldera, who many of us bought into. And then there was that Seize the Gray broodmare band, which was three broodmares that were due to foal three babies, and they're all going to be bred back to Seize the Gray. So that's like a nine pack, basically. So that's
a long-term project, though.
It's not about the here and now. I mean, you know, we're marching towards death. It's all going to come around. So that was Community Adjusted, Joke Sissy, and Tiffany's Mo, and they've all had their foals, and then I think two of them are pregnant again to Seize the Gray so far. And then we've got Improbable Luck, who is going to race very soon. And then Money Problem, who is in work but hasn't raced yet. And then I have Native Brew, who's also in work and is going to race soon. And that's with Steve Asmussen, and he's going to probably run at Remington Park, so I'll get to go see him. And then we have Puka 24, which is a new baby, but Puka is like a super mare, so I wanted to have her one of her foals. And then we also have Trust But Verify, so it's fine. Shut up, Glenn, it's fine.
Now I know where your HRN money goes.
Oh dude, it's insane. And I have not told Chad about this one. You know, it's none of his business.
Did I count 10? Did I miscount, or did I get them?
I don't know what you counted. It doesn't matter.
Oh my God. This is all our listeners' fault, too. A certain listener that lives here in Florida's fault.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Clark, it's all your fault. You started this whole mess. Actually, I think we did because we interviewed somebody from the My Resource like a million years ago, and they got us. I think that's when Clark got involved in
it. Teasing us and taunting us that caused the problem.
Yeah, he won all this money, and I have seen $4.50.
Yeah, mine still has $4.50 in it, too.
It's fine. It's going to be fine.
Your son, who's huge now, according to the pictures, had a birthday, and he gets the coolest presents from his uncle. And I just love the one. Please tell us about it, because I just think it's the best present ever. And of course, I would. But you know.
Well, let me just say that I have two brothers, and both my brothers are a-holes. Okay. So, but they don't have, there's no other kids in the family. They never had kids. Nobody else has kids. It's just one grandson of my dad. And so he's like the golden child. And so my dad always buys him whatever he wants the most, get him that. So my dad always gets him something
the big
really
gifts.
Nice.
We call them the big gifts. He gets them
the big gifts come from grandpa. Grandpa's gifts are always last. And so then we have my brother, Justin, who basically Googles what is the coolest present of 2025. And then whatever that is, he just buys it. So like we have all sorts of ridiculous stuff in the house, tech stuff that is silly.
Well, and as an uncle, I can understand that because we don't know what to get kids. So.
Yeah. And then there's Josh, who I think the last couple of days sits at, and this is not just thinking, this is what happens. He sits at his computer at night and is heavily drinking and then buys things. And so he said, there's going to be a package. He called me, there's a package coming today and you're not allowed to open it. Don't open it. Don't wrap it. Don't do anything. Just give it. It was like an Amazon, you know, envelope type thing. So I was like, okay, don't get it. So I give it to Lucas and I'm like, this is from Uncle Josh. I wasn't allowed to open it. It's probably inappropriate because, like, that's kind of a thing too. Like, usually the gifts are very inappropriate. But this one, that's why I usually open them first to make sure. But this one, I wasn't allowed. He's like, you're not allowed to open it. And so Lucas opened it in front of me. And why don't you tell everybody what he got?
He got a shirt that says, my uncle is so much cooler than my mom. I died laughing.
Yeah, every year he sends him a shirt and... like, no knowing how
I
it
need
is,
to know where he got that. I'm going to be sending it out to some nieces and nephews.
Well, you know what's funny is I asked him that and he was like, okay, well, here is what I've obviously sitting in front of his computer. And he's like, I just thought I'd make one because I wanted to just say something that was made me look good and made you look stupid. So I started to Google. He goes, you know what? They actually make those shirts. I didn't even have to have it made. He's like, you can find anything on the internet.
Etsy, probably, right?
Yep. Like, thanks, brother.
I bet you Lucas loved that shirt.
Oh, my God. He wore it all day yesterday. He's never going to take that thing off.
It cracked me up. I needed that this morning, by the way.
Well, just so you know, he's not allowed to call Justin, Uncle Justin. That's my twin brother. That's the one who just Googles the best present for kids. He's only allowed to call him Justin. But then you've got Josh, my other brother, who would prefer to, he is not allowed to call him Josh. He's not allowed to call him Uncle Josh. He's only allowed to address him as beloved Uncle Josh. So it's Justin and beloved Uncle Josh. It's a thing.
I love that. Yeah. Well, I'll post that picture in our show notes picture for today because it just cracked me up. And he must be taller than you now because
he's taller than me and he wears dang size 10 men's shoes. And I'm just
he's
not
be
okay
12
with any
before
of it.
He's done.
I'm so tired of buying shoes. Jesus. I'm like, you're wearing that till your toes are popping out of it because I cannot spend any more. I'm like, we're going to Walmart and we're going to Ross. Whatever, to buy you some cheaper shoes. Good God.
Hey, kids, I have a sad thing that happened over the weekend. It's very sad.
Oh, no. Please be sarcastically sad. Okay.
It's sad. Oh. It's legitimately sad.
I know what you're going to say.
15 years we have used the same Flex and Forks. 15 years we've had the one with the titanium or whatever handle that's really lightweight.
Carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber. And then we have the regular one. Well, it took Jennifer running it over with the truck to break the thing. And she broke the very tip handle part. And it finally just completely snapped the other day when I was using it. But the head on that one is still sound. The head, we have never changed the head on that one in 15 years. Now, we have two of them. So the other one, the head finally cracked after 15 years in one spot. I drove over it with something else.
The real truth, since your wife is in the background.
Yes. It's cracked. It didn't break totally, and I drove over it with something. I don't remember what, the gator or something. So the only thing that has killed these things after 15 years is driving over them with vehicles. So in any case, I'm going to have to order new ones now because I want to get them. He still sells them, by the way, if you want these Flex and Forks. They're still for sale, but I'm definitely going to order them because I'm not living with any. I'm not buying crappy forks again. So
no, once you go Flex and Fork, you can't go back.
Well, and we have those stringy grass. This is not a commercial, by the way. It was very sad because we've had these things. I was trying to set a world record. do you still have your original one?
Well, and again, this is a very strange turn of events that I'm going to tell you.
Oh, you drove
when
over
I was
too.
In Arizona, we drove two. Turns out an F-150 is no match
to
the Flex and Fork. Yeah, we'll take him out. But I still have a giant collection of other ones because over the years I just keep buying them and I give them as Christmas gifts to like my super horse friends because I'm like, let me just tell you, this is gonna change your life. But yes, I have probably. I have one for the backyard for dog poop with the fine tines. That is our dog poo picker upper. And then I have four in the barn. I don't use my shaking fork anymore because my bedding doesn't really need it.
Yeah.
It just.
We actually gave ours away because we have the same situation. And we gave them to somebody who cleans like 20 stalls and they do use that bedding. So
yeah.
They still use it though.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And so I do, but I do have a two blue handles, which is a regular one, and two carbon fiber. Because again, once you go bougie, you don't go back.
Well, okay? I'm ordering three because I'm afraid he's going to go out of business and then I won't be able to get them anymore. So.
Eventually, he's going to stop this nonsense of selling. You can't sell these because people keep them 15 years. I'm telling you, there was a clothing maker when Chad, this is a random story, but Chad lived in Korea when he was in the military. And there was a guy who made clothes, and he would measure them and custom make them, and they were so cheap that they would buy, like, you know, what I want to look like Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber, and they would go make a suit that looked like that, you know, really random stuff. But on the inside of every coat pocket, every shirt pocket, was this label, and it was Mr. Kim. Mr. Lim, and the underneath it, it said, "Look too good, last too long." And that was exactly, Chad still wears some of this stuff from Mr. Lim, and it looked too good, last too long. And I always think of the Flex and Forks and all of the equity products with look too good, last too long. Put you out of business, brother.
I think we even had that conversation with him when we first started, 15 years ago, we first started with him. Well, you know, another thing that lasts a long time is worm flooring. Get it put on your trailer floor. You're going to have it forever. So you don't have to worry about it. It's not like you have to pick up mats to clean under, especially if aluminum floors. You're supposed to clean under, like, you're supposed to clean under any time a horse pees. You're supposed to clean under. We don't do it. Nobody does it. You know, you do it maybe once a year, and then it's a pain in the ass. So if you want to avoid all that, you know, check out the worm flooring dealer near you. It seals the floor, so you don't have to ever worry about it. It goes up the side a little bit, so you don't have to worry about that getting underneath, and you just hose it out, you know, sweep it or hose it out, and you're done. So you don't have to worry about anything. It does go on wood floors too, depending on your wood floor has to be in good shape. It can't be already rotted out or you're going to still have trouble. But if it's in good shape, they apparently can do it on that too. So head on over to Worm Flooring, WERMflooring.com, to find a dealer near you to seal up that floor. Well, we want to welcome back one of our educational guests and sponsors, and that is Scott Beckstead from WildHorseRefuge.org in Colorado. They do some amazing work there. We've had so much fun having them on, and we're welcoming them back to chat a little bit more about Mustangs and the work they do in Colorado. Well, Scott, thanks for joining us again. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here, Glenn. Thanks for having me again.
So what's new since we talked to you last at the Refuge?
Always something big going on here at the Wild Horse Refuge. We have been very busy over the past couple months with some new horses that we have brought onto the refuge. So what we do, just to sort of reacquaint your listeners to our mission and sort of what we do, we are in Colorado, and we are home to Colorado-born wild horses that have been removed from their herd management areas by the Bureau of Land Management. And we work closely with the BLM so that any horses that are offered for adoption at Colorado Wild Horse Adoption Events and don't get any bids have a safe place to land. So we went to an adoption event in April and ended up with about a dozen horses or so. We went to another adoption event last month in May. Ended up with 19 horses, and we'll be going to another adoption event later this month. And these are the horses from the Little Book Cliffs herd management area here in Colorado. And we expect that we will be, taking any horses from that event that don't get adopted. So we do have some new arrivals on the property. Our number is now up at about 250, or just a little bit north of that. And these horses are absolutely stunning. They come mostly from Sandwash Basin, which is one of our nation's most popular and most beloved herd management areas in the Western United States.
Is that where you used to go, Jamie, and tell us about it? Down there?
No, but it sounded a lot like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how do you incorporate these new ones into the herds? Do you just let them work it out, or do you have a system?
Well, we definitely have a system. So horses that we adopt from the BLM, we don't get title to those horses for 1 year. And just like any other individual adopter, we have to keep adopted horses in a certain area and subject to certain conditions by the Bureau of Land Management. And the BLM has the right to come out and do compliance checks to make sure that the horses are in good shape and that our facilities are in good shape, just like any other individual adopter. So those horses that are adopted, they go into a sort of a transition area where they are held for the first year. And it's we've got a new area that we've just built. It's 1,000 acres of open range for these horses in transition. And then at the end of that year, when we get our certificates of title from the BLM, then those horses will be free to, you know, they'll be turned out into the larger open range. And then the other horses that we get from the BLM are the sale authority horses. These are typically older horses that have been offered for adoption three times, and usually they're you know, like middle aged or older. Sometimes these horses don't make the greatest candidates for companions or saddle horses. And those horses can be sold for $25 a piece without any sort of limitation. So those are the ones who are most at risk of falling into the wrong hands or maybe even ending up in the slaughter pipeline, which, of course, we don't want. So we those sale authority horses, we are there for them. We have the BLM transfer those horses over to us. And those horses can be turned out onto the open range, you know, here at the Wild Horse Refuge pretty much immediately. So the 19 that we just took a couple weeks ago, some of those horses we adopted. So they are in the 1,000 acre sort of transitional pasture. And others are sale authority, so they got to go out and onto the open range right away. So it's, you know, we do have a system, but the main point is that these horses are coming back to, you know, the open range, you know, similar to where they were born and grew up, and they adapt immediately. The horses that we took in most recently are already just, you know, sometimes when we unload them into our corrals, they look, you know, a little bit haggard, a little bit stressed out, you know, because, you know, they've been standing in government corrals for, you know, sometimes years. And once they get turned out onto the range, it's just the transformation is immediate, and these horses all just look fantastic.
What I've loved about talking to you is learning how you do prevent, you know, more horses from being born. And you guys really do a fantastic job. Obviously, you wouldn't be on here if you didn't, of taking care and looking after these horses and preventing more births. So when you go to these adoptions, first question, say you got 19 at the last one. How many actually got adopted? So were there 50 and you took 19, or were there 20 and you took 19?
I don't remember the exact number, but I can tell you that that in October there were 84 horses offered for an adoption event down in Florence, Colorado, which is near Canyon City, which is the large holding facility, and we ended up with 15 of those horses, and that I think is pretty much typical in terms of the percentage that we end up with. And if we weren't there to take those horses, then they would most likely go straight into long-term government holding, which of course is very expensive and less than ideal because, you know, they're not really, you know, out on the open range where they, you know, where they're accustomed to living and that they're really well adapted to. So, and you know, your question and your statement about how we prevent more births, just, you know, remember that when the Bureau of Land Management rounds up horses from herd management areas, all of the males are gelded. All of them are castrated by the BLM. So we do not have any intact stallions on this property. That's the mm-hmm. one piece, the one component that is probably, you know, wouldn't be considered natural, is that we don't have mating. But we do have a lot of stallion behaviors because a lot of these guys, even though they no longer make babies, they still engage in stallion behaviors. But what we find is that we don't have those really big, vicious knockdown drag out fights that you see out on the herd management areas between stallions. You can tell that while they engage in stallion behaviors, they no longer really have the stomach for those big fights. And so we get a lot of sparring, and the males still will snake their bands to keep them separate from the other bands and so forth. But
we had that with our geldings at the farm here the other day, kind of a show with, everybody standing on two legs having a good time. So,
So the next thing is, like, you talked about the sale authority or three strike Mustangs. Probably don't like to call them that, but with the sale authority, and you said they're $25, does the BLM make you pay for those, or do they send them to you and say thank you?
No, we go through the very same process. You know, we pay the adoption fee, we pay the sale fee. We are doing everything just like a normal adopter would. It's just that we do work closely with the BLM to make sure that all of those horses that that are there that don't get any bids, that they come to us and are become part of our program.
What a gift you guys offer! Really, but I'm shocked that, I'm not shocked, but I would imagine that they'd be like, thank you for taking all of these horses that we would then have to put in holding in Oklahoma for the next 20 years. And they're
this is really the point that we like to make. And we make this point, not just to other wild horse advocates and the public, but also, for example, to members of Congress, what we are doing is, in addition to restoring these horses' freedom and getting them back out onto a huge piece of property where they can live out their lives, we are saving the American taxpayer millions of dollars. The Bureau of Land Management estimates that it costs $50,000 to care for an unadopted wild horse over the course of its, 20 to 30 year lifespan. And so just do the math, if those horses, instead of being held in government holding a taxpayer expense, are living out here at the Wild Horse Refuge, not costing anybody anything, we're saving the taxpayers a great deal of money. And,
the government going, here, take $1 million. Thank you.
Well, yeah. And again, what we like to do is we like to make sure that policymakers and agency heads and so forth understand that, this is not just a feel good story about, letting wild horses run free. Although that is certainly, that's our mission and our vision. But it is also an example of an alternative to government holding that is actually working, where horses can be restored to their natural free roaming state, but not at the expense of the American taxpayer.
Do you have a limit on the number of horses you can put out there? You must.
Well, of course, and we're nowhere near that number yet, but we are very careful. We do we have range experts that we consult with to come out and look at the range to make sure that the ecosystem is thriving and balanced, and that is another piece to our operation that is very important to us, and that is making sure that we are a refuge not just for the wild horses, but to all of the native wild species who live here and who share the range with the wild horses. We have hundreds and hundreds of mule deer. We have hundreds of pronghorn. We have elk. We have golden eagles, bald eagles. We have mountain lions. We have, bobcats, prairie dogs, and perhaps most important, we have sage grouse. The sage grouse is a species who has been dwindling in its population for several years, and the federal government has been threatening to put the sage grouse onto the endangered species list, which would have massive consequences for all of the industries and all the people who live in sage grouse habitat. And what we are showing is that wild horses and sage grouse thrive together. We have the largest breeding lek of sage grouse in the state of Colorado. A breeding lek is the territory where the birds all, congregate. They have a big reunion every year, and they go through their big courtship process. And we've got the largest one in Colorado. So what we are showing is that these horses are an important part of a healthy, thriving ecosystem, and that they coexist peacefully with a lot of other wild species. But we want to make sure that the range is healthy and that it sustains not just the wild horses, but all of those other species as well.
And I guess the thing is, you're not competing with, and the reason they're being taken off of the other places is that, you know, we have cattle and sheep out there. And you guys don't have that issue. I mean, the wild animals, you know, they can live and thrive with the wild animals. It's when you put thousands of domesticated animals in the same spot, then you have an issue.
And this large piece of property that we occupy was a former ranch, and you can see some of the areas where there was overgrazing by the commercial livestock that were here. And it's going to take time for those areas to gradually be restored, but they're already being restored. And it's really gratifying to see, the horses living out there. And you know, you'll often go out early in the morning and you'll find a mixed herd of Mustangs, mule deer, and pronghorn all peacefully grazing together, all sharing the water holes. And that's very gratifying. It's gratifying to know that we're not only a refuge for the wild horses, but we're also a refuge for all of those other species who, you know, now have this place to just live and be safe and thrive.
I know there's other places in the country like yours. Do we know how many others there are that are doing what you're doing?
No one is doing it on this scale. There are other large sanctuaries that do beautiful work, like Sky Dog Sanctuary in Central Oregon.
That's the one
Oregon.
I was thinking of.
Wonderful work being done there. But, you know, we are operating at three times the space as that. And I think, you know, what makes our approach unique is that we do take as much as possible a hands-off approach to these horses. We want them to remain wild, so we don't, we will only feed them hay if, you know, the weather conditions are so bad that, you know, they're not able to forage naturally. But, you know, for the most part, we let these horses just be wild and free out on the range. We want them to stay wild. We have a strict no treats, no snacks rule, so that they don't become habituated to interacting with people. And when we give tours, which we've got some big tours, we're having an open house function here later this month. The rule is that people can, you know, can take photographs and they can enjoy the horses from a distance, but we do not approach the horses and we don't want them, you know, thinking that they can come up to us and expect a treat or a snack or a handout or something like that.
And I know you guys obviously are funded. You have a parent company that has a refuge, which I'd love to talk to one of them about sometime, has a refuge, you know, with other exotic animals. But you're partly funded from people like us, right? You have and it's a unique program the way you do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, so we are the Wild Horse Refuge is owned and operated by the Wild Animal Sanctuary, which is a 501c3 nonprofit charity headquartered in Kingsburg, Colorado. And there are three sanctuary facilities. There's that facility, which is really the flagship sanctuary established by our founder and director, Pat Craig. Then we have the Wild Animal Refuge down in the southeastern corner of Colorado, which is home to both exotics, you know, large carnivores, and also a herd of wild horses from states other than Colorado. And then we have the Wild Horse Refuge up here in
Northwestern. They're not out together, are they, the carnivores and the horses?
No, but they are not allowed together. But it's kind of funny, just a funny little story. You know, most of those large carnivores came from bad captive situations. Many of them had never been outside, you know, even, you know, to see the blue sky or feel the grass under their feet. And so, you know, while we don't allow interaction between the horses and the carnivores, I'm told that, you know, when the large carnivores first arrive and they see these, you know, these herds of wild horses, you know, passing by in the distance, you know, it can be pretty terrifying for them to see these, you know, these huge animals that they've never seen before. But no. So, and then of course the Wild Horse Refuge is the largest geographically of all of the three facilities. It's also the newest facility up here in Moffat County in the northwestern corner of the state, and home to just Colorado born wild horses.
And so if somebody wants to get involved, how do they do it?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to get involved and help us with this mission. Probably the best way is to become a founder, which means that you go to wildhorserefuge.org, you find the purchase land link, and that enables you to contribute the equivalent of the purchase price of 1 acre of land. And of course, you can donate for as many acres as you want, but that's $777 per acre. And that makes you a founder, which means that you are entitled to a VIP tour of the facility. You're automatically invited to our Founders Day, which this year will be the weekend of September 12th through the 14th. And we'll be giving tours, and it's a great opportunity to, you know, mingle with other supporters. You can also just go on to the wildhorserefuge.org website, and you can donate to, you know, you can donate any amount you want, but you can also donate to sponsor a horse, which, you know, is $30 a month. And so there's various ways to help. And of course, we, you know, if, especially if you're in Colorado or you're going to be visiting Colorado, then, you know, contact us through the website, and we would love to schedule a tour and show you around this place.
Well, that's terrific. And of course, it's wildhorserefuge.org. It's been so fun talking to you. And, you know, this is such a complicated problem, right? The Mustang issue. And there's arguments on 20 different sides of this.
And that's right.
And I noticed that they're talking about another huge roundup that's in court. And, you know, it's just, it's so complicated. I don't know what the perfect answer is. I don't know. You know, you guys probably don't know either. You know, you're trying to do what you can here and doing a good job, but you can't take 50,000 horses in.
Right. I mean, even though we are an enormous facility with tremendous capacity, the horses that we're able to sustain on this property are really just a drop in the bucket. Having said that, you know, we are showing that this is a model that stands as a humane and cost-effective alternative to government holding. You know, if this model could be replicated in every Western state with wild horse populations, I think it would go a long way toward, you know, solving a lot of these issues.
Well, let's hope that others have the heart to do it, you know, to actually do it. And the means, of course. I mean, you need that too.
Right, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Well, Scott, it's been fascinating having you on. It's the wildhorserefuge.org is where you find it. If you want to get involved, the website has a lot of information on it, and also some beautiful videos of the horses running across the plains, which is kind of cool.
It is.
So check those out too. Scott, we appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks so much for having me.
Your horse's health deserves the highest standard of quality. That's why Nutramax, the makers of Cosequin, maintains their world-class manufacturing facilities in the United States, where they far exceed what is required of supplement companies. Nutramax works with top universities and researchers in their field to make sure your horse has nothing but the highest quality supplements. With the mission of improving the lives of people and their horses, each product is backed by more than 80 quality checks and guaranteed to meet label claims, so you can purchase with confidence. With over 30 years behind the Cosequin name, you can rely on Cosequin products for when performance matters. Visit Cosequin.com to learn more.
Well, we're going to continue our auditor reviews of products that are provided by StatelineTac.com. And we've had some great reviews of some different products, and it's always fun to learn about new stuff. And I know some of you have actually gone out and bought them, so we appreciate that too. But we have Auditor Hillary on here. Hillary, you've been an auditor for a long time, right?
Yeah, a really long time. Like when you guys used to spin the wheel for prizes.
Oh my God. That's like 10 years ago.
Yes. We need to bring back the wheel.
I think the wheel out in our latest move. It was like we had moved it like 10 times.
The good news is I have a wheel, so we're good.
Perfect.
We're solid.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, Hillary. So Hillary, where are you from?
I live in New Jersey. I live in northern New Jersey.
That's right. Now I remember that. And you're our Jersey girl.
I'm a Texas girl, and I am a transplant to New Jersey. But yes.
Which is better?
Get out of. You know, I like New Jersey because I like seasons. Oh. I lived in El Paso, so it was just desert all the time.
Oh yeah, that's
just
that's
not
hot.
As bad. Not Phoenix, but like, you know, little brother of Phoenix.
And now Texas has one season, apparently large hail season. It's large hail season in Texas right now. So.
Oh my goodness. Yes. So, but yeah, New Jersey has a lot of trees and a lot of greenery and a lot of wildlife that I've never gotten used to seeing. And now they walk up to my door and it's really great. And I feel like Cinderella. So.
Well, apparently there's also some horsing around going on up there. What kind of riding do you do?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so I'm an eventer, but I was always a, you know, like a weenie eventer. I never really went out to the big stuff. I did like the little elementary classes and that sort of thing. But yesterday I just ran my first recognized horse trial at Essex at Far Hills. And I did starter, and Jamie, I was DFL, but I stayed
on. You finished with a number and not a letter, sister. Way to go.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So I had taken a mare from Parks Racetrack from the Turning From Home project, and I've been working with her for a year, and we had done a show. Well, this was 1 year since her very first horse show, almost to the day. So,
And you're in recognized a year later? That's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all her. It's her. It's not me. So,
was it her that got you the DFL award, or was that you who got the DFL?
It's always me. It's always me. You for lose those... you lose your confidence for half a second, and you're like, "Oh, we just refused."
Yeah, I know. For those who don't know, DFL award in eventing, it's kind of an unspoken award for those who finish dead. Freaking last. But that means you finished. And if you finished with a number and not a letter, that means you finished with a score and not an E for elimination.
So, oh, yes.
Way to go, sister. Look, hold on. In your honor.
Oh, is it the spin? You got the wheel?
I'm spinning the wheel.
So see what she wins.
Oh, spin again. Sorry.
I can't believe you still have it.
I have this because Lucas has it. He got it because he wanted to do, I don't know why he got it, but he had birthday money and he bought a wheel. So here we go. We have a wheel now.
Well, let's talk about the product that you have, which is appropriate for an eventer, actually. You got the Shires ARMA Sub-Zero Ice Boots.
Yes.
So tell us, some ice boots are just boots you pour ice in. How do these work?
Okay. So first off, the ARMA line has been great. I have a lot of stuff. My local top tack shop carries a lot of the ARMA products. I haven't been more obsessed with any collections since these things came through. So, but these ice boots are tiny, tiny little gel packs. I think, you throw them in the freezer. And instead of having to stuff ice cubes that are jagged and cold and freeze your hands, these things you pull right out of the freezer, you unroll them. They have a lot of really stretchy elastic and they fit spindly thoroughbred legs. And then my trainer's horse is a big old Holsteiner with tree trunks for legs and they fit him too. They come in one size. And they are so easy. They're soft and they're like a cold compress gel pack that you might find in like an emergency kit. Mm. But they go all the way around and they get nice and frosty. And I found my sweet spot for the mare I'm riding is 10 to 15 minutes. And then I throw them back in the freezer for another moment while I let her front legs warm up. And then I put them back on her hind legs for another 10, 15 minutes. So I give them an extra chill in the middle there, but they go on so quick. They're never bothered. And because they are soft and squishy and they don't have a like fully boned type shape, you can put them over the knee. You can push them down to the fetlock and still make sure that they're secured. And so my trainer and I have both been using them. I got these on March 28th. And it's been every jump lesson, every cross-country school I've been putting them on. And she has a nasty wind puff on her right hind. And it really makes a difference to watch that shrink down just from.
Yeah, that'd be perfect for that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, and they're comfortable. Nobody seems to mind having them on. But my favorite part is not having to stuff ice into pockets and get my hands all cold and have everything be soaking wet. These are great. And actually, my trainer had a fall at a competition last weekend, and she stole my ice boots for herself. And she was walking around with them on her knee because she landed on her knee. And she's like, I took your ice boots home. I promise I'll bring them back. Sent me pictures of them wrapped around her leg too.
So I have
multi-purpose, if you will.
I'm in the market for some ice boots, and I've always thought of the, like, you know, you, the big yellow things you put your horse's foot in and you fill it up with ice water. Yeah. So these, are they tiny little gel packs or are they like really long gel packs, and how long do they stay cold?
So this is about the size of a shipping boot. You know, a front shipping boot, and they can go from cob to oversized, like warm blood.
And I'm reading here that there's like 32 gel cushions in each boot. So they're smaller gel cushions wrapped all the way around. So it would contour the leg better that way than one big gel cushion.
You know the ice pop trick, Jamie, where you like take the roll of ice pops and you wrap those around the leg? Cut those in half.
Okay.
Cut those in half, and they end up being nice little pockets, so you can get around the knee, under the fetlock, under the fetlock, and like right down on the pasture. You can go up high, you can go down low, but it's soft all the way around, so you can get
cool.
It sized. Yeah, they're very easy, and
it stays cold for like 15 minutes, you think, and then you refreeze them and do it again.
Yeah, that was my sweet spot, is 10 to 15 minutes, just depending on how much I really think that they need. For the wind puff on the hind leg, if I put those on first and let them go for 20 minutes, the reduction is great. But my favorite part is they come off very easy. They're so easy to put on and take off, and you just throw them back in the freezer. I know that they go missing a lot because everybody else is like, can I borrow these? Because they're very easy, and they do a good job of cooling, but they don't get slimy. They don't get, they're also not too cold. You know, when you are supposed to ice something and you forget to put the towel under it and it hits your skin and it's like, that's too cold. I don't notice that they're actually going numb or anything like that. When I take the boot off, the leg is cold, like it has been cold hosed, not like it's had an ice cube smashed against it. Okay. So it's really good with the temperature control. Yes, it's cold, but it's not to the point of like I'm worried about skin damage.
Is it Velcro or elastic that holds them on?
It's elastic with a Velcro tab, and there's three. So you have one for the top, middle, and the bottom. And the bottom and top ones are really good because you can get them up over the horse's knee if you want to ice the knee, or if you need to ice the fetlock, you can wrap it down around by the cornet band. And there's a lot of flexibility in the elastic.
You've used them quite a bit. How are they holding up?
Yeah, I had them since March 28th, and it is June 2nd. They look brand new.
Oh,
I mean, yeah. I'm not running around or anything, and the horses are standing in the cross ties or in their stall when they're wearing them, but they look brand new. So really? They are holding up great. No fraying, no pop stitches, no leaky gel.
I could see you using these, Jamie, on the thoroughbreds you're getting in for training too, because they're easy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm certainly
that's
the market
for
some.
Yeah. But yeah, they're so only $69. Well, retail or full retail is $69 for a pair for two of them. So that's good price too, considering how well you liked them.
Yeah, I do really like them, and it's kind of like, well, I should just pick up that extra pair for the hind legs.
Yeah, make it easy.
Have to swap them out, but I wanted to give them a true test and find out. You know, you're technically looking at icing for 10 to 20 minutes. These hit that sweet spot, 10 to 15 minutes, not too long, not too cold, but they do a really good job. And the fact that my mare's windpuff is shrinking is fantastic whenever I put them on. So that makes me feel like, hey, we got something going on here. It's working.
Well, Hillary, that was a terrific review. Good job. Well done. And thanks. I knew when you got these that you would really test them out because of what you do. And congratulations on your first recognized event.
Hey, thank you. Woo-hoo. Super exciting day.
You know, next time you'll be next to Dead Last. So you'll be moving
perfect.
Up.
Perfect. All right. I'm
only one way to go, it. Sister. Let's go straight up. I know.
Well, there, you could go down. But that means
no.
On the ground.
So yeah, that. You stayed on the horse. There's a lot of good things about this. Yeah. You survived dressage. He didn't jump out of the ring. Yeah,
stay in and on. That's all you got to do in dressage.
Yeah. I should also mention the footing yesterday. It was really muddy and it was tough going. They were really getting in deep on the grass fields. And so it was very, very nice to kind of put these on and be like, okay, I have the support right out of the cooler at the trailer, throw them on, give the liniment bath. Worked great. So.
Well, Hillary, we appreciate you doing this. We appreciate you joining us, and keep up the good work with that horse of yours.
Oh, thank you.
Come back
good
on
to
when
you
you're
guys.
Come back on when you're in the ribbons, okay? Let us know.
I will. You'll be the first to know after my husband. Okay.
Thanks, Hillary.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye-bye. Ever wondered if your saddle is causing your horse discomfort? You're not alone. Many riders face this challenge, unsure how to prevent their horse from suffering due to an ill-fitting saddle. Saddle Fit for Life is here to help. For over 35 years, they've been the leader in evidence-based saddle fit education, working with over 300,000 horses, from Olympic athletes to everyday trail horses. And now, they're offering you a 7-day free trial of their internationally recognized Saddle Fit education program. Experience firsthand how understanding saddle fit can transform your horse's comfort and performance. Click the link in the show notes to start your 7-day free trial today with Saddle Fit for Life. That's Saddle Fit for Life.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems. This ought to be good.
It usually is, I will tell you. Equestrian first world problems, we basically ask our auditors to submit all the sad tales of woe that they are dealing with. And it usually comes in the form of a Facebook post on Sunday afternoon. And then they've got till now to get their problems listed in. And really, I mean, it's all about being cathartic. Like, I feel like we're doing this for you. And then we get to share them and laugh at them. So if you have an equestrian first world problem and you want to participate in this and also get your therapy, you have to become an auditor. Glenn, how do they do that?
Go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down to the middle of the page and click on the auditor banner. And for as little as $3 a month, you too can participate.
We are going to start with Taylor because she says, I have a beautiful farm with a wonderful barn and horses all to myself. But my house is not finished enough to drive to the dang barn every single day instead of waking up and seeing my horses outside.
We know that feeling. We went through that last year.
So,
yep. Yeah.
At least you don't have my houses done and my horses are running loose in the road. Yeah. I mean, it could be worse.
It could be worse, yeah. Or they could be 50 miles away and you have your nice house and you can't see your horses.
Exactly. Tracy says, I have a lesson with my young horse, and then I'm going on a trail ride with a friend. And then there's a barbecue that night at a friend's place, and then barrel racing after that. But then I have to go to work the next day. this one comes with a photo.
That sounds like a horse girl's dream day, though.
I know. That's like the best day ever, yeah. But just call in sick. It's fine. You'll be fine. This is there's a photo of a Coke can. I guess Coke and Diet Coke are now doing those names on the cans again.
Oh, are they?
I guess so.
A while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess they're doing it again because Kelly posted a picture of a Diet Coke can and it says Dude on it. D-U-D-E. And she says, I have a horse named Dude and everyone is sending me Diet Coke cans with his name on them. But I only drink regular Coke. Oh. This one is amazing because
her horse's name is Dude. I mean,
that's pretty awesome. Yeah. Do you call him the Dude? Yeah. Like, I totally would.
Do you scream across the barn, Dude?
Dude, knock it off. Heather says, and Heather put a video in, and Heather, I get it. I don't know how you're going to survive. Heather says, in 2024, I foaled out two beautiful Friesian fillies by the same sire. And now they are over a year old and I can't tell them apart. They're literally twins. Oh my God. Bookends, they look exactly the same. Exactly the same. I mean, I have a hard enough time with two double grays in the pasture and one's fat and one's skinny, so it's fine. Diana says, I've been trying to ride Murphy more often. And so yesterday, I rode bareback. Today, I rode in my English saddle. My thighs are so sore. Adrian says that the vet came out for vaccinations Friday, but I had a meeting rescheduled at work for the same time she was supposed to be there. So my mom handled all the horses for me, but I didn't get to talk to the vet. It is when they're in your house, in your place, like, it's like, hey, while you're here, can you do this?
Also, the 50,000 questions. Do you think they like the clients that just let them do their job and don't talk to them? Or do you think they like the clients that ask 50,000 questions?
I will say that as a horse trainer, I really like the owners to be more involved and ask more questions. Okay.
Because Jennifer is one of those. She'll ask 5,000 questions. I'm going, I wonder if the vet hates her.
Yeah. No, that might, I could see where Jen might be too much. Heather says, I'm so looking forward to helping some young 4-H kids learn how to ride English. But that means I don't get to ride my horse. Damn kids, taking all your horse time. Kim says, I was horse showing in Del Mar, so I pulled my jeans over my white breeches. But now I can't bend my knees to step up into my truck.
I was going to say, way most jeans are, you wouldn't fit them over breeches.
Oh, my God. You got hammer pants?
Yeah, sausage much.
Alexis says, I finally found a saddle that fits my registered Oldenburg and allows her shoulders to freely move back and forth better. But now my entire body hurts because she has such a lovely, lofty extended trot with so much suspension and everything hurts and I'm dying.
Careful what you ask for. Either the horse is hurting or the rider's hurting. That's what I'm getting the theme today.
Well, Alexis, I kind of found that with Ace. I finally got him a saddle fit that fits and I'm like, oh my God, your trot sucks. Like it's much bigger now, but it's like harder to ride. Cheryl says, I'm going on a horseback safari in 1 month, but I need to buy new clothes now, obviously. And that could be a blessing or a curse. I mean, are you going to shop at like a place like Boot Barn and buy some cool stuff? Or do you have to like go to the mall? Cause like dealers, drag. Sandy says, I taught the little turkey. So this one is a photo and it's a little girl and she is sitting in a chair and she is draped with ribbons. There's a first place ribbon, a fifth place ribbon, a third place, a second place, and she's wearing a giant champion neck ribbon, which is garbage because I've been trying to like win a neck ribbon my whole life. And she says, I taught my granddaughter how to ride in the beginning. I shared my horses and my precious barn time and money. I found her a trainer. I helped pay her show fees. And now she's 9 years old and she freaking rides circles around me. She did go on to say that I'm having a great time and highly recommend that everybody gets themselves a horsey grandkid.
I just saw the picture. That is so cute. And she's all dolled up too.
And she is. And she's just like, what? Quit taking pictures of me. I know. All my bling. Well, thanks everybody for submitting your equestrian first world problems. I hope you had as much fun listening as we did reading them. They're always good.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us. We appreciate it. Tomorrow we have the American Horse Council is going to be here. We have Mary Kitzmiller later in the week. And Jamie and I will be here Wednesday and Friday with brand new shows for you as well. Auditors, hold on. We're going to be talking to Anna's parents in the post show, who are at Jamie's house this time. And they're going to be heading out on their great big USA adventure. I want to find out where they're going and what. I don't know. I'll find out also if this is their first time in the United States. I don't know. So we'll talk to them in the post show. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right, spaying, neutering, geld.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Wrong one. Let's do this one.
Congratulations.
Nope, that's not it either. That's not it either.
Oh, no, that's not it.
That's not it. That was Po Show.
Glenn, you have one job.
Dude, these are out of order.
I thought you should have left it.